Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. We do have a small gift for you at the end of service today. I think it's like a makeup bag with some type of womanly stuff inside of it. I don't know what it is. Just know we have a gift for you, and we probably have enough for every woman in the church to get one, whether you're a mother or not, because you probably mother us men some way or another. Amen, women? Today is probably the most unique Mother's Day sermon I will ever give. First, I'm looking at this Mother's Day a little different, seeing how Sarah has transitioned to being a mom in the last year or so. Seeing that transition is something I'm going to talk about today to some level and degree. There's my baby screaming for her. But it's been a beautiful thing to see, and it's helped me see motherhood in a different light. But also, we have an important announcement to make regarding the future of our church. I think Pastor Lisa came back today just to throw you all off to make you think she's coming back. She's not, that I know of. I would love to be surprised with that, but we are grateful to have her and the Perkins family back with us today. But we do have an important announcement, and I was going to joke, and I was going to say effective immediately, make you think that I was resigning or something was happening, and then I was going to tell you that David would be named the lead greeter of Cornerstone Church. He's already been named that, though. You're coming back. At the end of David's name, we're going to start putting LG, lead greeter. Now, the announcement we have to make is going to affect all of us to some degree or another. You know that our long-term vision of our church is to create a local network of healthy, missional, rural churches. I delivered that in 2018, 2019 to our church. After we received this building, the question became, what is next? And I began to lay on my heart that our church was going to be a church that helped other churches, that produced other churches, and that these other churches would work together to become a network that continues to help one another, that's healthy, that's missional, which means they live on mission, but also, it's in rural America. It's in rural North Carolina. I don't think that we're called to preach. I'm not called to preach in a metropolitan like Greensboro or Charlotte or Raleigh or wherever it may be. I'm called to a rural context, and I think that many of us, we are born here. We are here. That's where God has called us. And so this is the year that this vision becomes a reality. Our denomination has asked our church to lead a church in Liberty, North Carolina, it's about 40 minutes from here, to lead this church through a restart that will result in a brand new church. The church that we are helping is called Friendly Wesleyan Church, and so far they lived up to their name. They are friendly. This is the picture of the church. It's located, if you're familiar with Liberty, you're heading in on 49 from Ramsar. This church is just off of 49, heading into Ramsar on the left in the middle of a neighborhood. Surrounded by houses, seemed like a neighborhood with a bunch of kids. But this church has fallen on hard times recently. Currently, they have about 13 people, not counting the pastor and her family. They've had a hard go at it recently and currently are in the position of having to close. And so they met with the denomination, and they asked the denomination if there were any other options other than having to close. And that's when the denomination contacted us. They asked us if we would be willing to plant a church in Liberty using their building and working with their people to create a new church to reach Liberty and Randolph County. Our district superintendent, he texted me and he said, hey, I've got another opportunity for you if you're interested. He said, this one's by invitation from the church, not intervention like what we ran into last year. And I said, well, that's already a better start. The church was basically facing closure. And they asked him if there's any other options, and he threw this out there to them. And so Pastor Bernard, Kathy Graves and myself, we met with their pastor. Their pastor's name is Emily. We met with Emily and the leadership there at the church a few Wednesdays ago, and they unanimously approved the plan to close and reopen as a new church at a later date. Last Sunday, their 13 members approved the plan to close and reopen by an overwhelming 11-2 vote. And that vote was also to work in partnership with us. I'll say, to kind of relieve some of the fears that we dealt with last summer, this church has been nothing but welcoming of us, of our vision, of our heart, of our plan for ministry in that area. In fact, Pastor Emily, the pastor at the church, has communicated with me just how much she loves our vision and our heart for ministry, and just seems like a good fit. And so Pastor Emily will actually be staying on at the church in Liberty, and she'll become a member of our team pastoring there in Liberty. Me and Emily have worked really well together over the last couple months. One prayer request that I can give to you for her: she is pregnant, third child. The other two are 2 and 1. So they're going to have a newborn, a 1-year-old, and a 2-year-old. And she's having preterm labor symptoms at 26 weeks now. And so she's currently on bed rest. Her husband is preaching at Liberty this morning. He leads worship, and they both come from pastors' families, I believe. But please be in prayer for her, because she can't really do much. And just hoping the baby doesn't come this early. Give you some details before we get into the sermon. Friendly Wesleyan Church, I'm going to put them on the screen here. Friendly Wesleyan Church will have their last service in 2 weeks on May the 28th. That will be the official closure date of Friendly Wesleyan Church. And then over the next 3 months, we're going to go in and remodel the building. The building was built in the 40s, added on in the 50s, and then even a little bit more was added on in the 60s, and not much has changed since the 60s. So they are in need of improvements. One thing that was cool was that they had changed their carpet in the Sunday school wing, and it's the exact same carpet that's right here. So, you know, I told them that our chairs actually go with that. So we're planning on matching that carpet throughout the rest of the sanctuary. At least that's part of our plan. But there are changes that need to happen. There's a lot of demolition that needs to happen. And then we're going to have to hire people to come in. The work that we can't do, we're going to have to hire people to come in and fix up some of the other stuff. And then on September 10th, so we got 3 months to get that place remodeled, and on September 10th, they're going to open as a new church. I do not know what the new church name will be yet. That name will be decided by what's called the Restart Team. The Restart Team is going to be made up of 2 people from Friendly Wesleyan and 2 people from our congregation. The 2 people from our congregation are going to be Pastor Bernard and Kathy Graves. If there's a vote and there's a tie on the Restart Team, then the current pastor at Liberty, Emily, will be the deciding vote. I will be leading those meetings, but I will not be as involved in the day-to-day operations at Liberty. That's what that team is for. I'm there to provide leadership and vision and insight as a church planner, since this is planning a new church. The plan is that, yes, we're going to restart this church. We're going to reopen it on September 10th, but our work is just getting started with them. We are going to continue to be a part of their church in one way or another. We are going to work with one another by sharing resources, by sharing people, and working together as a team to reach both the Seagrove and Liberty communities. This is the picture of what I think God desires to see his church be like. That we're not in competition with them. We're working in tandem with them. And chances are, we're not going to reach people down here in Seagrove, people in Liberty. We're not going to reach those people all the way down here, but we can reach people. We can invest in people who will reach those people and make disciples. And so the way I'm framing this for our church during this season, and especially today, is that it is time for our church to become a mother church, to produce a daughter church, to reproduce, which is always what the church was meant to do. God is calling us to reproduce and bring a new church into this world. And so I want to talk to you today, drawing parallels to what God is calling us to do as a church, to how mothers live and love on their children, and how all of this fits into what God has called not just mothers and not just churches, but all of us to do. And so the three things that mothers tend to do or should do that we are called to do, I'll go and tell them, then we'll go through it, is to sacrifice, nurture, and pray. Those three just happen to be things that we should all be willing to do and that we must all do as we venture into this new season that God is calling us to. So let's talk about sacrifice. First thing I want to talk about is we are called to sacrifice for others. That's what Jesus said in John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So he says the level of love that you are called to show to other people is the same love that I've shown to you, which is sacrificial love. He made sacrifices for us. He sacrificed his very life for us. So he's calling his followers to show that same level of love. So yes, we are called to sacrifice for others. Paul says in Philippians 2:3-4, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. He's saying sacrifice your own selfish intent and instead look to the interests of others. Try to help other people. Sacrifice for the sake of others. And we know mothers do such a great job of this. The very fact that you are a mother means you sacrifice your body. The body goes through a lot through pregnancy and through having a child. Body will never be the same. We also know that mothers sacrifice their time and ultimately sacrifice their energy. That's why Sarah was up at 4:30 this morning with Elijah. That was his early Mother's Day present to her. And Dad was dead to the world. He didn't know what was going on. I just looked over when I woke up and saw he wasn't there, and then my eyes closed. But mothers, they choose to sacrifice for their children, for all those really around them, their husbands, their family. And I just think this is built into women in general. They are willing to sacrifice for other people, and that, they set the example for us. But that's what we're all called to do. We're also called, though, to sacrifice in our relationship with God. In Luke 9:23, Jesus makes clear, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross daily and follow me. And if you want to be a follower of me, it means you must take up your cross. And he's not saying we literally have to carry our cross around. What that means is that we have to choose to sacrifice. And it's not a one-time sacrifice, I'm giving you my life. No, it's a daily choice to sacrifice. This goes back to what Paul was saying, your wants, your desires, and instead to choose to live for God. Paul said something similar in Romans 12:1. He says, brothers and sisters, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. He says, this is holy. This is pleasing to God. God likes it when we sacrifice for him. This is your true and proper worship. It's not singing on Sunday. That is part of worship. But the true and proper worship that God desires is that we sacrifice our desires and wants for him. And ultimately, it comes down to sacrificing your life, giving him all of you, not just part of you. But then what I want to talk about in regards to liberty is that we are called to sacrifice as a church. Acts 1:8, we kind of see God's vision or Jesus' vision for the church. And he tells the disciples, he says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, Jerusalem was where they were at. That's where they were located. And so he said, yeah, you're going to receive power. I'm going to empower you to be my witnesses to reach people in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, big city. They can reach a lot of people there. And so the church, all the way through like Acts 8, we see the church there in Jerusalem, reaching people in Jerusalem, building the church in Jerusalem. See, in early church times, the church was known. It's like when we're reading about the church in Ephesus or the church in Corinth. It's basically all the Christians in that city. So there was a church in Jerusalem, which was all the Christians in that city. Well, at that time, that's all the church was focusing on growing, was all the people in that city, that church in that city. But God, Jesus, before he went up, he says, you're to go into all Judea. So you're going to go out of Jerusalem into Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, to do that, could they do that without being willing to sacrifice some of their people in Jerusalem? No. They had to be willing to send people out of Jerusalem. The Jerusalem church had to be willing to reproduce themselves to reach people in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Church in Jerusalem and the apostles did not do a great job of this at first. It ultimately took the killing of Stephen and the persecution brought on by Paul to ultimately get them to go out of Jerusalem and into the other areas. It ultimately took that persecution to push them to actually complete what God has called them to do. The best example in this, and as I teach at our table gatherings this week, I think this is where God's going to lead me, is the church in Antioch. The church in Antioch is our best example of a church that was willing to send people out and reproduce and sacrifice to reach other people. And so this is calling our church to be today. Our church body is going to have to be willing to send some people. Right now, the plan, at least in my mind, is to ask for people to go to Liberty on an ABC week basis. So that basically means at this time we're thinking 2 weeks at a time, and that could change. If we have 50 people say they're willing to go to Liberty, it will not be on an ABC week basis. One of the problems at Liberty is they only have 24 parking spaces. So there's going to be a limit in church growth just because of parking, and I don't want our people taking up a parking spot when someone from the Liberty community may want to go. But if we had a lot of people sign up who are willing to go for a week or 2 weeks out of a month to Liberty to just be a part of that church and to serve in that church, then we would send people on an ABC week basis. At this time, I'm thinking if we have about how many I'm thinking would sign up, people would be going for 2 weeks at a time. And so every week there would be at least two teams there. So AB 1 week, BC 1 week, and CA 1 week. And those people are there to help run kids. If the kids from the neighborhood, they literally have kids come up on Wednesday nights sometimes from the neighborhood. They don't know when they're going to come. They don't know if they're going to come. Their parents don't drop them off because they live right there at the church. So we don't know if their kids are going to start coming on Sunday mornings or what it may be, but we need people who are willing to, number one, just be a body, just be there, because 13 is kind of awkward, 13 people in a church service. But we also need people to be willing to serve. And what you're doing while you're there is you're infusing some of the DNA of this church into that church. You're being friendly to people, and I hope you'd be friendly to people of other skin colors, that you'd be friendly to people who may be different than you, that you would set that example for the church there in Liberty, and that we would love on that community as if it was our home. But then also, we're going to have to sacrifice some time. It's going to take time away from me and from our leadership, especially Don and Kathy and Bernard, as we take some of our focus to Liberty. But we're going to also ask people to help at the church. When we do outreach events, I'm planning on Pastor Lisa bringing her trailer back up, hopefully. Good luck, Randy. Maybe I should have said that. I'm planning on Randy bringing the trailer back up to bring clothes for us to hand out both here at our church at our summer giveaway, but then the next week do the same thing up in Liberty, and I'm hoping you guys will be willing to help. Because some of them are just not capable of helping. I'm hoping some of you will be willing to go up to Liberty and help us reach people in that area. It's going to take us sacrificing some time. And then also, we're going to ask you to sacrifice some of your energy during this remodel. There's a lot that needs to be done. after I get to knock down what I want to knock down, some of you can then come and relieve some of your anger by knocking down some walls, taking out a stage, and whatever else we decide to do. You know, somebody said yes, amen. Was that Janet? Janet. They're like, yes, I will go up there and knock some things down. That was one of the fun things we did here, was knock things down. So we're going to need help during this remodel. If you're gifted at building stuff, we're going to need you. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. The church is not in the best shape. And so we're tearing up carpet. We're taking out pews. We're taking down walls. We're knocking out a stage. We're building a stage. We're hoping to put up some type of backdrop. We're going to do a lot of work there over the next 3 months, and we're going to need as much help as possible from people in our church. But ultimately, we're going to need our church to sacrifice people, time, energy. And here's why we're calling you to do that. It's because it's about building God's kingdom, not our kingdom here in Seagrove. It's about building God's kingdom, not Cornerstone Church. And to build God's kingdom is a lot bigger than Seagrove. To build God's kingdom, we're going to have to be a church that's willing to sacrifice. Because here's what I believe is going to happen. If we sacrifice and we do what God is calling us to do in here in Liberty, I believe God's going to continue to open up other doors for our church to help other churches over the next 10 years. I could see us helping one church a year, sending people out, bringing them back to health, and enabling them and empowering them and equipping them to reach their community. And then that network is forming. We're working together as a group in Randolph County and the surrounding counties to reach people with the gospel. And then I just imagine what God can do if we're all making disciples of him. I believe what God would want to do, this area would not be able to contain it. And it could possibly spread and bring revival to our nation. And so I'm going to talk about that this week in our table gatherings, that God is calling us to build his kingdom, not ours. The second thing that mothers do and that we are called to do is to nurture. Now, nurture I'm defining as care for and encourage growth of. Another way of saying is to develop something. We are called to nurture others. You heard Elizabeth say that. She mentioned nurture in the announcements because this actually came from her when I was asking for a third word. But mothers do such a great job of nurturing their children. They take care of their children, number one. They take care of others, and they take care of their husbands. Amen. But they also help develop and grow their children. A good mom's not going to birth their child and then be done with them. They're going to continue to develop them and encourage them to grow and help them to become all of who God is calling them to become. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Jesus gives us the Great Commission, and I want to point out what it says, but just as much I want to point out what it does not say. It says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. It does not say, therefore go and make converts. It does not say that go, therefore, and get people saved. Therefore, go and make disciples. Disciples means they follow Jesus. They are not just checking off a box thinking that their internal life is waiting for them at the end of their earthly life. No, it's about discipling them to follow Jesus. And in the next verse, he says, this is how you do it. You teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. This goes to that nurturing principle that we are called to care for others, but we're also called to encourage the growth of, to develop them, to make disciples, to lead them to maturity in Christ. I think this goes with this too. In Matthew 22:39, Jesus said the second greatest commandment is this, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, yes, you got to love your neighbor. You got to disciple them. You got to care for them. You got to encourage the growth of. But here's where I want to speak to the women in the room real quick. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love yourself to love your neighbor. Sometimes women can go too far to the other side of giving, 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 sacrificing, 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 caring, 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 but not taking care of themselves. And it sounds selfish to say that, but it's not. Because Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. You got to love yourself to love your neighbor. You can't pour from an empty cup. And so you've got to fill your cup in order for you to be the best mom, the best wife, the best caretaker, the best nurturer that you can be. You've got to work on yourself. You've got to help yourself. I know that is built into you. The women I know in this church, they are willing to give until they have nothing left to give. I'm telling you, take some time for yourself. Love on yourself a little bit, just as much as you would love on your child, on your husband, on your neighbor, as Jesus has called us to do. So take care of yourself, but also love others. That's what God has called all of us to do. We're also called, though, to nurture our relationship with God. Just like any other relationship, it requires care and development. Your marriage is not going to grow unless you invest in it. Your relationship with your kids is not going to be good unless you invest in it. We have to cultivate our relationship with God in the same way. We've got to be willing to spend time with Him, to grow in our relationship in Him. Paul says this in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7. He says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. It says, keep living your lives in Jesus. Build your life up in Him. Strengthen your faith. Work your salvation out, is what He says elsewhere in Scripture. The example I think back is when Jesus taught about the vine and the branches. He is the vine. We are the branches. He says, if you remain in Me, I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. But you have to choose to stay connected to the one who is the vine. If you don't stay connected to the one who is the vine, you're not going to nurture or encourage growth in your relationship with Him. We have to make sure that we are taking time to grow in our relationship with God. And mothers, this goes back to taking care of yourself. For everyone in this room, your relationship with God is the most important relationship you have in your life. And if your relationship with God isn't right, chances are the rest of your relationships are not going to be either. And this goes for all of us. Not just the mothers, not just the fathers, but for every single person. But then finally, the third point is that we are called to nurture other disciples as a church. To do this, we've got to go to Ephesians 4. To talk about this, we've got to go to Ephesians 4. And in Ephesians, this is really where Paul teaches a lot about the church and how God has structured the church to be. And so in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, he says, Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. So He gives certain gifts and wires certain people to be leaders in the church to do what? To equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He says the job of these people are to equip other people to serve, to do what God has called them to do, so that the body, the church, will be built up. And then he says this interesting stuff. We're going to reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and that if we do this, the church will become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I don't think we've experienced this yet. I think the early church was experiencing this a lot closer than we've ever experienced it in the American church. And I think it's because we limit some of these other giftings that people have. We are called to equip other people, to make disciples. My job as the pastor of this church, as the leader of this church, I am gifted. I think my three is apostle, prophet, and teachers. I think that's how God has gifted me to serve in the greater body. The apostle means a sent one. They're typically good at starting new things, like churches. Prophets, they have a heart to reach people in the community, or they have a heart when things are going wrong, and they want to see it change. And one thing that burns inside of me is that the church in America is sick, and I want to see it brought back to health. Evangelists, they're the ones who like going and telling the gospel, reaching people in the community. The pastors are great at taking care of people in the church, and the teachers are obviously good at teaching. I know where I'm gifted. I'm trying to find out where you're gifted so that you can serve, so that you can make disciples, so that you can build the body of Christ up, so that we can make disciples in Seagrove, but not only disciples in Seagrove, but also make disciples in other areas. We are called to nurture our collective body of believers in this church to help. But it's not just so that we can pat ourselves on the back and say, look how good Cornerstone Church is. It's so that we can then help others come to know Jesus. And we can do this through this plan with Liberty. I've already said we'll probably never reach the folks in Liberty from here. But we can if we invest and bring that church to maturity there. But we have to nurture that church as their mother church. That's part of what we are called to do, is to nurture, to encourage the growth of, to disciple. But on the flip side of that, and this goes to what I was saying to the mothers, we're also going to have to take care of ourselves here at Cornerstone. We're going to have to continue to nurture our church here, which means we need people to step up here in this church. I saw this last summer that when we sent people out, we were having to fill in gaps where they normally would serve. We needed other people to step up and do things. This plan means we're going to need that even more. We need workers right now in kids ministry. We currently have people serving like 3 weeks out of the month in kids ministry. That is not sustainable. We need people to step up in our church to serve in kids ministry, to serve in nursery. We need ushers. We need people to serve where God is calling them to serve. And so as we prepare to reproduce and plant another church, we need you to also be intentional about helping and stepping up in this church so that this church doesn't suffer as we go and reach other people. That means some of us that come in here and sit on Sunday mornings and don't really do anything through the week and don't really do anything on Sunday mornings, we're going to need you to step up and serve at least one Sunday a month probably. We're going to talk about that a little bit in our table gatherings, but there's potential for our church to be hurt through this, and that's not what we desire. And it's not going to happen if the people who are not doing anything now will step up and do something for the betterment of God's kingdom. The third thing that we have to do, and I think any good godly mother does, is pray. And we're called to first pray for others. I think that any good godly mother prays for their children, and they never stop no matter how old they are. If your mom's still alive, I bet you she's still praying for you. And I'm sure many of the blessings that have come in my life and in your life have come from my mother praying, my grandmother's praying, or from your mother's praying for you. If your mom is a Christian, I'm sure she's prayed for you too. Sarah and I pray for Elijah every single night together. Pray that God would bless him, that one day he'd come to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior, that right now he'd continue to develop and grow as he should, and that God would use him to reach other people for years to come. We are called to pray, yes, for our children, but we're also called to pray for others. And that includes, this is something I don't think we pray enough for, we don't pray for the lost in our community. But we are called, and this is where I want you to kind of focus in on. I want you to pray for the lost both in our community, but also the lost in Liberty. I want you to pray for the people of this church who are facing their church closing in 2 weeks. I want you to pray for them. This has not been easy on them. And then finally, we covet your prayers as the leaders of these churches. We need your prayers. James 5:16 says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I believe that a lot of the battles that we're going to be facing over these next few months and years is going to be won or lost in prayer. We need you praying collectively as a church, individually, for these people. We're probably going to have a prayer service up at Liberty We will have a prayer service up in Liberty before the start of it. We might even invite our table gatherings to go up there and pray. Spend some time claiming that ground for God. Claiming that community for God to reach people in that area. Second thing I want us to pray for is pray for workers. This goes with Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He's telling us something specific to pray for. Ask the Lord of the harvest. That's the Lord. Ask him to send out workers who's going to bring in that harvest. Now, you know, Jesus was speaking that to his disciples at that time, but I think the harvest is plentiful today. When I typed in Liberty and the Westland Church provides us with this demographic insight stuff that will tell you how many people live within so many miles of the church. And so I typed it in at Liberty, and currently right now within 10 miles of Liberty, there's about 40,000 people, which is about the same number as Seagrove. But for those of you that are familiar with what's happening in the northern part of our county, that number's about to shoot up big time. Because Toyota is building a big old plant there at the mega site. Bernard's been up there a lot watching blasting as a fire marshal. There's also some plants going up in Siler City. If you've driven down 64, you look to the left as you go into Siler City, there are a ton of land that's been cleared and a ton of trucks and things working back in there as they're building other plants. That area is growing. All those new jobs coming to that area means they're going to need new people to work those jobs. And guess where those people are going to live? Not in Guilford County because it's expensive. In Randolph County. Maybe not exactly in Liberty because I hear they're having problems with sewage and water and all that. But they're going to be in that area. And so there's going to be a lot of people moving into Liberty. When the district superintendent texted me and told me what church it was, that was a no-brainer for me because we are about to see new people moving into that area looking for a new church. And guess what? We can create a new church to reach a new Liberty, a new northern Randolph County. And so that's what God is calling us to do. But what we have to do to reach those people is we need to pray that God would send workers to bring in that harvest. The harvest is there, but we need workers to do the work. I'm not trying to tear down the other churches in Liberty, but when Pastor Bernard and I went and met with the whole church the other Sunday morning, I texted him. I left a little early, and I texted him. Was texting and driving. I told him, I said, that church has a few people. That church has nobody. That church, you know, it's all right number. And he said, LOL, I'm doing the same thing. Except he was on the north side of Liberty. Liberty has more than one stoplight, so it's a little bit bigger than Seagrove. But he was on the north side of Liberty, and he was telling me what the church was up there. I'm not trying to tear down the other churches in that area, but it did not look like many people were being reached. Some of the churches literally had four cars. One of them had two when I drove by and came back, and they doubled to four. Many of the churches had probably 10 cars or less. Based off what I could see, the church in Liberty is struggling. And I'm not saying just the church that we're going into. The church as a whole in Liberty is struggling. We want to see workers come into the church that we are planning. But not just the church we are planning. We want to see the other churches in Liberty grow as well. We want to see God send workers into those churches to reach that area so that ultimately God's kingdom will grow and that disciples will be made of Jesus. And that kind of leads into this next one. I want you to pray that God's kingdom would come. And this goes with Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, and it's part of the Lord's Prayer, so you've prayed it before. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's ultimately what we want to see happen, is that God's kingdom would come. And God's kingdom is exactly what Jesus says there. It's the place where his will is done. We want to see God's will done in Liberty, in our church, and beyond. We want to see his kingdom grow. And the season our church is entering into, I believe, is going to be a season of testing, of trials, of tribulation. Anytime we try to grow God's kingdom and take bold acts like we are taking right now with planting this church, you better believe the enemy is going to push back. He pushes back because God's kingdom is overtaking his. And when it comes down to a showdown between the two, the kingdom of Satan stands no chance. And so as his people, God's people, who are called to build his kingdom, as we get serious about that and we become that army who's being sent out to bring the world into the kingdom of God, Satan is going to attack back. Well, let's pray that God's kingdom would come here as well. Because if we pray that God's kingdom would come here as well, then that means God's will is going to be done, not Satan's. That Satan will be defeated when it comes to God battling him. And so we need you to pray. Pray that God will build his kingdom in Seagrove and Liberty, and that he would use us to do just that. And let me say this important piece. If and when he does, we do not take the credit on ourselves. We give all the glory and credit to him because he's ultimately the one who does it. We're just the tools that he is using. And so what God is calling us to do as we enter into this new season is exactly what mothers have done for us time and time again. It is what other churches have done as mother churches in the history of Christianity. But ultimately, it's what God has done. When you think about it, God has sacrificed for us by sending his only son for us. Jesus sacrificed his life for you. Shouldn't we be willing to do the same? God nurtures us, and I'm so thankful for this. God nurtures our individual relationships with him. He doesn't bring us into a relationship with him, then hope we make it to heaven. That's the way the church treats it a lot of times. Instead, God continues to work with us, and he develops us, and he helps us to grow closer to him to become more like his son, Jesus. And then finally, God answers prayers. Not only does he answer prayers, but he prays for you, which is kind of a cool concept to think about. Paul tells us in Romans, I believe it's Romans 8, that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. He is praying for you. When you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit is praying to the Father for you. So God is praying for you. Kind of mind-blowing, but it's special. But then also, I go back to when Jesus prayed. It's pretty cool to think that Jesus prayed for you. Jesus knew you. Jesus knew you would exist. And he was praying for every person that would be a believer. He says in John 17, 20 through 21, he says, my prayer is not for them, talking about the disciples alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message. Hopefully that's you today. He prays this, that they all may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. He prays that we would be one, just as he and the Father are one, and we cannot even understand in our human minds the relationship between God and the Father, and God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Like, we cannot wrap our minds around the Trinity. We know it's three in one, but we have a hard time of explaining that or really thinking through that. But what Jesus is praying is that the church, that me and you would be united in the same way. That our unity would be so unique that it'd be hard to explain. And I'm already finding that to be the case when it comes to Liberty. It's going to be hard for me to explain, yeah, we're we're helping at Liberty, but we don't go to Liberty, but our people do go to Liberty, but they're not a part of Liberty, but they are a part of Liberty. You know what I'm saying? Like, that uniqueness is what God is calling us to. And so what I see this is a fulfillment of exactly what Jesus prayed. But also we know that God answers prayers for us. He speaks things into existence. And this plan that's in place is part of that. And so what I believe God is calling us to do is to follow in His footsteps as we plant a church in Liberty. And He's calling every single one of us. He's calling every single one of us to play our part. I love throughout the scriptures, He talks about the living stones that the church is made up of. You are a living stone. You are a part of what the church is made of. And it takes all the living stones working together for the church to be who God has called it to be. And that's exactly the case of what's going to happen here. We need every single one of us playing our role. So this week, I will be meeting with each table gathering, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, to answer questions about the Liberty Partnership and to go over details about our church plant in Liberty. But part of that conversation will be talking about how God is calling you to play your role. So the way I'm framing it is this: three different things that God is calling us to do. And I believe all of us are called to the first one. How can you play your role? Number one, you can be a prayer warrior. We need people praying. We need people fighting that battle for us in the spiritual realm as we go in and try to reach people in Liberty. But the second thing I think that maybe God's calling some people to do is to be a restorer, to help with remodeling the church. What we are doing is we're taking an old building that has seen a lot of worship, that's seen a lot of people come in and out of those doors, seen a lot of disciples made, seen a lot of lives lived. We're taking that building and we're restoring it to something new. We're going to need people to help with that. But also we're going to need people to be pioneers. Pioneers are the ones that go ahead, that build something so that others can build on top of that. We need people who are going to be willing to attend and help at the Liberty plant part-time. Maybe that's 1 week a month, 2 weeks a month. We'll just see how many people we have sign up. But the more people we have sign up, the less you're going to be away from Cornerstone. So we would love to see as many people as possible be a part of this church plant, be a part of Liberty. And I believe, church, that if God does what He wants to do, you might not have to go up there very long because God's going to grow that church. And people from Liberty is going to be there, and we're going to need your parking space because there's not many parking spaces. But God is calling us all to be one of these three things: a prayer warrior, a restorer, a pioneer. Now, if you're going to be a pioneer, you're probably going to help with the remodel too. So it means that you'll just continue to be all three. This is the least that we want you involved. This is the most, and I'm hoping we'll have plenty of people who's willing to be a pioneer to attend Liberty part-time. Last time I gave you a paper, last summer we gave you a paper and we asked you to respond in the next week or so. I don't think I'm going to do that this time. I've been led in different directions. So I'm going to meet with your table gatherers this week. We're going to chat. We're going to talk. I'm going to answer any questions you have. I'm going to give you more details than what I've given you so far. And I want you to ask me questions. I want you to find out more. And I want you to be praying, how is God calling you to be a part of this plant? How is God calling you to be a part of what He is doing as we strive to build His kingdom, not ours? Amen? I am going to cut the last song so that you can go have your Mother's Day dinners and all that. So let's pray and then you'll be dismissed.